Läsning ur profeten Jesajas bok. Jag vill sjunga om min älskade vän, en sång om min vän och hans vingård. Högt uppe på en bördig sluttning hade min vän en vingård. Han luckrade upp den och plockade sten och planterade ädelt vin. Han byggde ett vakttorn, han högg ut ett prästkar. Han väntade sig söta druvor, men vingården gav honom sura. Döm nu Jerusalems män och Judas folk. Döm mellan mig och min vingård. Vad mer kunde göras för min vingård som jag inte redan har gjort? Jag väntade söta druvor. Varför gav den mig sura? Nu ska jag låta er veta vad jag tänker göra med min vingård. Jag ska ta bort stängslet så att den blir skövlad. Jag ska riva muren så att den blir nedtrampad. Jag ska låta den förfalla. Där ska inte beskäras, inte hackas. Tistel och törne ska ta överhand. Och molnen ska jag förbjuda att fälla sitt regn över den. Herren Sebaots vingård är Israel, Judas folk, hans älskade plantering. Han väntade oväld men fann våld, väntade rätt men fann orättvisa. Så lyder Herrens ord. Lycklig den som finner sin glädje i Guds bud. Lycklig den som finner sin glädje i Guds bud. En vinstock tog du från Egypten. Du drev undan folken och planterade den. Den sträckte ut sina rankor till havet och sina skott ända till Eufrat. Lycklig den som finner sin glädje i Guds bud. Varför rev du ner muren omkring den så att alla som går förbi kan plocka? Vildsvin från skogen kan skövla den. Markens smådjur kan äta den kal. Lycklig den som finner sin glädje i Guds bud. Gud Sebaot, vänd tillbaka. Blicka ner från himlen och se. Ta dig an denna vinstock, den ranka din hand har planterat. Lycklig den som finner sin glädje i Guds bud. Vi viker inte bort från dig. Låt oss leva, så ska vi åkalla dig. Herre Gud Sebaot, upprätta oss. Låt ditt ansikte lysa så att vi räddas. Lycklig den som finner sin glädje i Guds bud.
Andra läsningen ur Paulus brev till Filipperna. Gör er inga bekymmer, utan när ni åkallar och ber, tacka då Gud och låt honom få veta alla era önskningar. Då ska Guds frid, som är mera värd än allt vi tänker, ge era hjärtan och era tankar skydd i Kristus Jesus. Och så, mina bröder, det som är sant, det som är upphöjt, rätt och rent, det som är värt att älska och akta, allt som kallas dygd och allt som förtjänar beröm, ta fasta på allt det, vad ni har lärt och tagit emot, hört och sett hos mig, det ska ni höra. Då ska fridens Gud vara med er. Så lyder Herrens ord.
Halleluja, halleluja, The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, "Hear another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he leased it to tenants and went on a journey. When vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to obtain his produce. But the tenants seized the servants, and one they beat, another they killed, and a third they stoned. Again, he sent other servants, more numerous than the first ones, but they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, thinking, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and acquire his inheritance.' They seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. What will the owner of the vineyard do to those tenants when he comes?" They answered him, "He will put those wretched men to a wretched death and lease his vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the proper time." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read the scriptures? 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. But the Lord has this been done, by the Lord has this been done, and it is wonderful in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that will produce its fruit." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters in Christ, in order to understand this parable, we have to start with a question. Why did the vineyard, the people working in the vineyard, believe that they would get the vineyard if they killed the son? Because, I don't know about you, but this is a shocking thing that happens in this parable, isn't it? If we kill the son, the vineyard will be ours. Well, according to the commentators, generally, there is an agreement that this parable assumes a certain economic political structure, often, especially during the times of the Romans, but even before and certainly after, these properties, vineyards, farms, belonged to absentee landlords. In this case, the landlord is on a journey. But generally speaking, the landlord could have been anywhere. He could have been in Rome. Very likely he was. Or perhaps someplace more pleasant in that area of Palestine, Caesarea Philippi by the sea. It was a system that worked, and it was, of course, based on the trust that those leasing would indeed present to the owner his share. Now, these are not very nice leasers. They treat the first messengers badly, but then they kill the son. We know what our Lord's talking about, of course. He's talking about himself. But let's not anticipate. They kill the son. Why do they kill the son? Because in this system, if the heir dies, they get the property. In other words, if there's nobody to inherit once the owner is dead, if there's no heir, they have a chance to divide it up and have it for themselves. You see? So what happens here, then, is that the vineyard, the leasers, the tenants, excuse me, killing the son, get what they would have gotten anyway. Now, when I think about this parable, which is an immensely interesting parable, it reminds me of something in St. Thomas Aquinas, whom, although I'm a Dominican, I do not generally quote in sermons. It is counter-recommended. However, he has a remarkable thing to say about the sin of the angels. The sin of the angels, okay? So he said, what was the nature of the sin of the angels? Well, they didn't have bodies. So that eliminated lust, gluttony, and any other sin that required having a body. So their sin was a spiritual sin. This is not terribly original. This is traditional with Aquinas. I mean, it's traditional in the interpretation Aquinas is just using. It's a spiritual sin. Generally speaking, the only one really that seems to fit the bill is pride. Now, Aquinas then, this is where he contributes a remarkable insight. He says, it is said of the angels that they wanted to be like God. And Aquinas sort of surprisingly says, yeah, but what's wrong with that? That's a very good thing to want, to be like God. In fact, you could say that it's the whole point of life. As Christ himself teaches, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. This is the goal. So the poor angels, what was their sin? Aquinas says, this gives me goosebumps. He says, they wanted to be like God as if it were their due. See, in other words, that they deserved to be like God. Not to receive it as a gift, see, but to receive it, to grasp it, to take it as their own. And you see what. Now we understand what the tenants did. They took what could have been their own by killing the son. I could almost sit down now, but I'll just finish because I'm sure you see where we're going. See, what do we have here? We have a picture, a depiction, in the most vivid way of what sin is. This is what sin is. Sin, of course, is many things, because there are many different kinds of sins. There are many kinds of things that we take that we shouldn't. But here we have the most profound element of sin is not to go after the things we shouldn't, but to go after the things we should as if they were ours. And not God's gift to us. This is the heart of what sin is. Now, of course, there's a happy ending to the story. Of course, the parable ends. What kind of punishment do people like this deserve? Well, this kind of sin deserves death, our Lord says. However, we know, because we know the end of the story, we know that the death of the Son is also finished by his resurrection. We know that he, who in fact succumbed by his own blood to this very sin on the cross, rose and conquered it. He showed that even this sin, this desire to take what God wants to give as a gift, as if it were our own, even that is not strong enough to undo God's plan to bring us to himself. So the story for us has a happy ending. And I suppose if you're looking for a moral, although I don't like to look for morals. I just like to enjoy the mystery as it is. But if you look for a moral, the moral is, of course, that as much as we see in ourselves, this, as, until maybe our last breath, that sin is not conquered fully in us, nonetheless, our hope is in Christ who conquered.